Our missionaries tonight are the Autrys, Ronnie and Jonah. These are veteran missionaries to the Dominican. Brother Ronnie comes through every now and then because we are so happy to host them as they travel back and forth from the Dominican. And we were talking recently about I wanted to get them to be able to get in front of the church and present because it hadn't been in a while. So really excited that they're able to be here tonight. Brother Ronnie has a video that he'd like to show first, so we're going to show the video, and then right after the video, he'll come back, talk about the ministry, and then preach the message for the evening.
It is my joy to share once again about all the ministry of the Dominican Republic. This is our update for 2020, and we want to share with you how God has blessed us and where he has us now, and then also share some of the ministries that God is using to be a blessing to the Dominican people here in the Dominican Republic. And also we would like to share with you some of our burdens, what we're having to face here in the Dominican Republic. So with that, I want to ask Pastor Jose, who is here with us, to come, and he's going to share a few things today.
Hola, me llamo José Ramón Ramírez, asisto al pastor en los ministerios de República Dominicana y estamos aquí trabajando en diversos ministerios en los cuales les quiero presentar. El primer ministerio es el ministerio de evangelismo. Cada sábado vamos a diferentes plazas, en diferentes parques y lugares y alrededor de la propiedad para invitar personas y presentarles el evangelio de Cristo. Este ministerio nos ha ayudado, puesto que hemos visto la mano de Dios obrando en las vidas de diferentes familias que hoy forman parte de la membresía de la iglesia. En 1995 comenzamos el Instituto Bíblico en Santo Domingo, llamado Seminario Bautista Resurrección, en el cual ya se han graduado más de 100 pastores nacionales, muchos de ellos apoyando diferentes ministerios y sirviendo como pastores en diferentes partes del país. Junto con el seminario, tenemos el ministerio de plantando iglesias. Hemos visto a Dios obrando en muchas partes del país y ya tenemos más de 50 iglesias a nivel nacional que se han plantado mediante este ministerio. Tenemos el ministerio de misericordia, ministerio inspirado en la palabra de Dios, específicamente en el texto de Mateo capítulo 25. En este ministerio nosotros asistimos a orfanatos, hospitales, servicios de ayuda a personas con adicciones a las drogas y alcohol. También ayudamos diferentes ministerios en diferentes partes del país. Y por último, también tenemos el ministerio del colegio New Life Christian Academy, fundado en el 2001, donde hemos visto a Dios obrando las vidas de jóvenes. Este ministerio surge con la necesidad en el país de colegios cristianos de buena educación basado en la palabra de Dios, en el cual podamos implantar el evangelio de Dios en los corazones de nuestros estudiantes.
Here at New Life Baptist Church, the Lord has been very good to the ministries. They started in a rented facility not far from where we are now, and they faced a lot of opposition, and they were forced to leave that. They even met and Pastor Ronnie's home for a few weeks, so they found the other location where they were at for a number of years. And in 2016, God opened the door for them to be here in this location where they are now, and it's been such a blessing. It has opened up a number of opportunities for us as we minister and as we serve, not only here in Santo Domingo, but also, as you heard before, in these ministries all around the country. And just there's a number of advantages for us having our own location. We're able to do a lot of different renovation work, changing this building from a house. It was a residence before, and now it holds New Life Christian Academy, Resurrection Baptist Seminary, and New Life Baptist Church. And before, in the old location, we were sharing the same facilities, the same rooms, setting up, taking down. And we're thankful that God's allowed us to have our own place, where we can have the church, and then we have the school building, we have the area where the seminary meets. And it's been such a blessing to be able to have this, and just for the expanded opportunities, whether it's reaching out in this area, in this neighborhood, or the ability to have more students and offer more things in the academy to have a greater impact in the city of Santo Domingo. In 2016 and then the years following, we've done a number of renovations, changing this property from a house to the church building and the school building. We're thankful for many of those that came and sacrificed to help, for those in the church and the school and the ministry that also came and gave of their time and of their efforts to help us as we remodeled this facility. And we're very thankful for what God has given us, and we're excited about what God has brought in and supplying the need for the ministry. But as you'll hear in a moment, there's much still to be done in regards to the payment for the property.
So as you've heard, God has been doing some great things, and we are so excited just to be a part of God's great work here in the Dominican Republic. We are currently working on a remainder of our property that is here in the DR with the owners. This amount of $280,000 includes $230,000 that we have to pay on the remainder of the part of money that's owed here in the Dominican Republic. And then there's $50,000 that we have to have for taxes, some paperwork fees with lawyers, and then the title process here in the Dominican Republic is very expensive. We have two titles on this property, so we have to deal with the fees and things that are involved to have these two titles prepared. We're excited that we know that our Lord has the answers to these obstacles we're facing with the purchase of our property. We have seen His hand time and time again as He moves to provide for us and help us. And so we're so thankful for being a part of God's great work here in the Dominican Republic and for the things He's going to do in the future here. Sometimes I think about the great pastors that God has given us out in the field, some 55 pastors now we have here in the Dominican Republic, all trained by Resurrection Baptist Seminary. And the exciting thought of what is coming for the future. We have many students in our seminary right now that are preparing for the ministry. And these facilities that God has provided is being used for that purpose, to train men to serve God and to plant churches all across the island. And now with two of our nationals trained here outside of the Dominican Republic, what a blessing to be a part of such a great work. Please pray for us as we continue to work on these funds that are needed. If God should lay on your heart to be a part of that, please follow to the end. It will tell you how you can help us to accomplish this great goal that God has placed. The vision is great. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. We have a great vision, and it's to win the country of the Dominican Republic. Please pray with us. And if you're able, assist us in accomplishing these goals. God bless you, and thank you for your time.
Am I on?
Yeah, good.
Sometimes I have problems with these buttons, but thank God. Well, that video was done back in the end of 2020 in preparation for furlough, and our furlough got canceled. The virus came through, and nobody was having missionaries. Conferences were canceled, and so we stayed on and kept working. And so we had 55 churches back in that time. Brother, could you cut me down just a little bit? Just a little bit, please. And we had 55 churches at that time. Now we have 67, which includes three new church plants this year. So your support and help is what makes all that possible. I mean, if God did not burden the churches to help us, He would get it done some other way, but we're glad He burdened them. Amen? And so we're glad that we're partnering with y'all, and that you can know that during the past 32 years, God has done something in the Dominican Republic that I could never imagine would happen. I mean, I'm about as south as you can get from Georgia. And so I never imagined that God would use us to do the things he's using us for. So we are so grateful to be a part of his team, amen. He didn't have to use the Autrys. He could have used someone else. And so we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful for my wife, Chona. She's here with me tonight. And grateful for her. She has stood with me. I've been preaching now. I've been married to her for 42 years. 42, right, honey? 42 years. And been preaching 41. So I'm so glad God gave me a good wife. And really takes good care of me and helps me, encourages me. So we're thankful for that. As you get older, you realize something. I have an administrative degree. I have a pastoral studies degree. I have a master's in Christian education. I have a doctorate in divinity. And I have learned many things. But I find as I get older, I really haven't learned very much. I have a lot to learn. And so, I mean, it's something to find out as you get older. You really haven't even touched the top of what God has. And so I am so grateful for his hand upon my family and my grandchildren and my son down in Punta Cana. And he's serving the Lord full time. And then our son that's in the Air Force in Hawaii. We're so grateful for that and all that he's doing with our family. So please pray for the Autrys and please keep us in mind. We have a lot of things to do. I find that I'm working harder at 62 than I was when I was 42. So I don't understand that too good. But as long as he gives me energy, I'm going to continue to work. And I have no plans to retire. Just keep preaching and serving him. Well, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. And I want to talk to you about missions. And about our mission. I want to talk to you about this whole message really is how I see and view the mission that God's given me in the Dominican Republic, but also it's about our missions as individuals and as being personal in our mission. And so I want to share that with you tonight and all, and I thank y'all for having us in and allowing me to speak tonight. I want to talk to you about what is our mission. And I want to use the story here about this Canaanite woman, a woman of faith, great faith, a Gentile. It's important that we know that she's not a Jew, she's a Gentile. And see how the Lord deals with her here. But let's just read the scripture here. It says, and then we're starting in verse 21. Let's just start in verse 22. Jesus has departed from the coast of Tyre, and he is going down to another part now. And so let's just start with verse 42. It says, and behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, we thank you for your word and the power that lies within it. God, I pray you would help us. Help us to be stewards of your word. Help us to use it as it penetrates our hearts and minds to bring the conviction needed for lost souls. Help us to be a light walking in this world that others may see what we do in your name and that you will be glorified And Lord, help us to honor you every day. Make it part of our lives to see others with your eyes and with your ears to listen to their words, that we might reach them and bring them to a saving knowledge of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to share with you this woman's mission. This woman was on a mission. I mean, she had a vision. And the vision she had was her daughter. And everything about her functioned around the fact that she had to do something for her daughter. And in considering that thought, I want us to consider, do we have a mission? Do we have a mission? Now, you say, well, everybody has a mission. Yes, we do. We all have a mission. Many times our mission is to take care of our families or a job. A job could be a mission to whoever you work for. You could work long hours and be so dedicated and spend all your time in that work, or that job you have, whatever it is. That could be a mission. But that's not the mission that I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk about our mission to the Lord. Our personal mission and vision that we have in what God has given us. And God has given us all the ability, the desire, and the need to have a mission with Him. And so I want to share with you a little bit about that. And that's what makes the mission that we have in the Dominican successful. We're successful because God has put the vision. And God has supplied the desire to fulfill a mission in the Dominican Republic. I remember when we were getting ready to go to the Dominican Republic, God gave me a five-phase plan of what to do when I got to the Dominican Republic, before I ever stepped a foot into the country. I already knew what I was going to be doing, because he just told me very clearly what he wanted me. I even wrote it down. And we're in phase five of that five-phase plan. And until he comes, I'm going to continue working on the five-phase plan he gave me and all. But the vision of the mission that we have. What is our mission in the Lord? What is our mission? This woman, she had a great mission. It was full of passion and everything she had, her strength. So let's look at this woman and her mission. What is the first thing we see about her mission? Her mission was to change a life. That was her mission. Her daughter was vexed, the Bible says. She was vexed. It says, she says to the Lord, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." I mean, this woman had to each day see her daughter suffering and going through the pain and anguish of not having the ability or the power to help her own daughter. And she was extremely burdened about it. And she says to him, "O Lord, thou son of David." And that was simply to say, "I know that you are the Son of God." That's what she was saying to Jesus when she said that to him. She was saying, "I know that you are able and capable of rendering my daughter free of this devil." And that's what she was saying to Jesus. She said, "Have mercy on me." She knew that he already knew about her daughter. She didn't even have to tell him, but she knew that. But anyway, she goes on to say, she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She had a vision to change a life. You know, that young girl's life and the way that it would finish out depended on the fact that her mother was full of zeal, enough to go and stand before the Son of God and ask Him for help. She had heard about Jesus. I wonder how much power and effort and desire we have in whatever the mission is that we have in the Lord. But I also wonder if we even have, as individuals, a vision or mission in the Lord. Do we even have one? We need to have one. Hers was to change lives. This woman was a difference maker. She was a life changer. And she is standing before the Lord, and she is telling the Lord about her daughter, and she is asking for help. She wanted to make a difference in her daughter. Do you have anybody that you know that you want to make a difference in their life? They're not saved. Do you have contact with them on a regular basis? Do you have one person in your life? I have about 10 or 15. I have a running group that I'm constantly working on to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was her goal, to get to the Lord Jesus Christ so that she could change her daughter's life. We're all meant to be difference makers and life changers in this life. That is God's purpose for us being in Him and saved through His blood, that we would bring it to others. The second thing I want you to notice about her, the first thing was her mission was to be a life changer. The second thing I want you to see about her is her mission was found to be without interest. I want to tell you, sometimes as a missionary for the last 30-something years, I have found sometimes that people may not understand or they're not interested in helping. Thank God this church has helped us. I can say for a fact that I know that this church many, many times not only has supported us monthly, but helped us financially in different projects. And we thank God for that. Not all churches are like that. Some churches even forget that they're supposed to send the money in every month. You know? And then they never make it up. So you do without when that happens. But sometimes the mission that you have in life is without interest. Have you ever been there or felt that in your life? That there's something that you're supposed to be doing for the Lord, and you've shared it with others, and you feel like they're not interested. That they can't see the burden and desire that you have to fulfill this mission in the Lord, and there's no interest. Here's this woman. Now, she's made her mission clear to the Lord Jesus Christ, but look what happens here in verse 23. It says, "But he answered her not a word." Now, that's pretty rough. Because she went straight to the source of the power. And she was right at the place where she needed to be. And I'm going to move this because this thing keeps making noises. And she was right at the place where she needed to be. And right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she has put forth the great need of her daughter. And the Bible says that he answered her not. He showed no interest or emotion or comfort in what she had presented. And you would think, boy, that would be enough to make you want to quit right there. And sometimes there are certain things that need to be brought in order before we can expect an answer from the Lord. And sometimes we're quick to judge or to think that, hey, why isn't God paying attention to this? This is a great need. I need some help with this. Why is he not showing me the help I need in this situation? Sometimes things are not at the place they need to be, and that's why we don't get the answers that we need from God sometimes. And that was what's going on with this woman right here. She needed answers. She needed help, and the Lord wasn't interested. And so we find that when the Lord doesn't answer her, it says, and his disciples came. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." So maybe the woman thought, "Well, let me go to the disciples, because you know I went straight to Jesus, and maybe I was actually supposed to go to the disciples first. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know what happened, but I know one thing: when Jesus didn't answer her, she found the disciples, and she's after the disciples, and she's saying, "Look, my daughter is vexed with the devil. She needs your help. You're his disciples." You have access. You can access that power needed to help my daughter. Help my daughter. And she continued after them because they said, "She crieth after us." There were 12 of them, so I imagine she was going after every single one of them. And she continued on. And you know why? Because she had faith and vision in the mission that she had at hand. And she was not willing to give up. Because her daughter's life depended. Do you see the people that are lost around you as that you may be the only hope they have to come to Jesus. Now I want you to think with me for a second. How do we see lost souls around us? And when we look at them, what is the emotion and feelings that we have about those people? I mean, when 40-something years ago, when we got saved, I mean, it was you go and hand a tract out and you move on and you don't waste time. You got to get as many out as you can. My whole philosophy about that's changed, Pastor Tom. I hope I'm not talking about something that you don't agree with. My philosophy now is, if I give out one track and spend 15, 20, 30 minutes with that one person, and they're getting closer to receiving Jesus, that was a great day. If I only get to hand out 5 tracks in 2 hours, and I got to talk to each one of them and get close enough to them that I can come back again and see them again and plant more seeds into their soul, that's a great day. That's a great day. So she went to each one of the disciples and she asked for help. And she said, I need some help. And they came to the Lord and they said, Lord, she crieth after us. And they besought him. And they said, send her away, for she crieth after us. These were the disciples. They were supposed to be looking for a way to get her help. But yet they wanted her sent away. I hope that I can always somehow get past the mind of not taking time and take the time with each and every person that I come in contact with. I remember one time we were visiting down in Tampa. And as we were visiting down in Tampa, we had a granddaughter with us, Haven. And Haven loved McDonald's. She loved to go to McDonald's. And so we got in the car, and she said, Paw, can you take me to McDonald's? We're sitting in the parking lot there. I said, well, yes, Haven. She said, I love McDonald's. If you take me to McDonald's, I just love McDonald's. I said, yes, Haven. Complex. And my phone, I just put in McDonald's, and we go to McDonald's. But I said, now remember, before we go to McDonald's, you're Lola. Has some errands to run. We got to run errands first. Then we go to McDonald's. Okay, Papa. Well, we get down to the end, and we make a right turn out of the thing, and we're going about a half mile toward a red light. And Haven says, Papa, are you really going to take me to McDonald's? I said, yes, Haven. I told you I'm going to take you to McDonald's. I promise you I will take you to McDonald's. We're going to run some errands for Lola, and I'll take you to McDonald's. We got to the red light, and I'm fixing to make a left turn. We haven't even gone a mile and a half from the house. And Haven says, Papa, are we almost at McDonald's? I told my wife, I said, we. Because she's not going to stop till we get her to McDonald's, so we got to take her to McDonald's. Well, that's the way this woman was right here. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, what I have is for the lost sheep of Israel. It's not for her. It's not for her. She's a Gentile. It's for the lost sheep of Israel. This was a determined woman because we find that her mission needed help. You see, she wanted to be a difference maker. And she wanted to change lives. And we found that she didn't have a lot of interest coming. Now she's been turned down from the disciples and Jesus Christ. And now we find here that her mission needs help. And what does she do? It says in verse 25, and then she Then came she and worshiped him. She's not giving up. That's the way Haven was. Haven wanted to go to McDonald's. Haven knew that her mission was to get me to McDonald's so she could get what she wanted. And she was determined not to stop. She was determined to get us to McDonald's. This woman was the same way. She needed the power of the Lord. Now, I want to encourage you about something here that we're fixing to talk about. We have to know that without the Lord's power, there is no power. The reason that I hear all the time people going and they say, well, we won 25 souls today. At my church, when one of my guys come to me and says, we won 20 souls today. I said, great. Sunday morning, when they get to church, I said, hey, take me around. I want to meet these 20 souls that got saved yesterday. Oh, none of them came. Why? Why didn't they come? I got saved. First thing I want to do is go to church. I mean, we wanted to go to church. We didn't miss church. We wanted to be where the Bible was being taught. We wanted to go to church. I think when somebody gets saved, that should be the thing they want to do, is go to church, right? Power. Look what happened here. Her mission needed help. It was a mission without power. And she had none. It says there, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know what this woman realized? She needed Jesus to help her first. That there was no way she could help her daughter until Jesus helped her first. And there is no way we can help others unless Jesus is helping us first. And so she came and she worshiped him and she said, Lord, I realize that I got right to the point about my daughter, but what I really should have done is gotten to the point about me first with you. Because I need to be fixed. You see, that's what happens when we worship. When we worship, we're fixing ourselves. Amen? We're getting what we need. And she said, Lord, I'm here, I'm worshiping you, and I want you to know I need your help. Because I can't do it without you. I have found that the closer we walk with the Lord, the more lives we can impact. You want to impact lives? We all have to get close to the Lord. Because the closer we are to God, the more of Him that can come out of us, and the less of us that people get to see. The light, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Which we want them to see the light of the Father, amen? Not the light of us. We need the power of God. It's through the power of God that lives are changed. I remember in Acts chapter 16, it talks about when Paul and Silas came into the city there, and the Bible says they came in and they went to the river and they sit down. They sit down and talked with the people. And Lydia heard the word of God. And the Bible says, before that it says Lydia worshiped God. Now Lydia worshiped God, but she didn't know him yet. And the Bible says that God opened her heart and she heard the words of Paul. Wow, that's something. God opens the heart so that people can hear the words of God that we speak to them. And they get saved. She's worshiping Him and she says, "Lord, help me." And Jesus gives her an answer now. Jesus sees her dilemma in a greater way, that she's persistent and she's faithful at staying to the task of completing her mission that God has placed in her hand. But Jesus answers her, and I don't know if she was ready for the answer she got. It says, "But He answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.'" Now, I imagine this poor woman, she's already had Him once not say anything to her. Now, she gets to the disciples, they didn't give her any answers. And now she finally gets Jesus to talk to her. And when Jesus talks to her, He says, "What I have, I can't give you," because it says very clearly, He says to her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread," Israel's bread, "and to cast it to dogs." You say, "Wow, why would Jesus call her a dog?" Well, you know, back then, the Gentiles were referred to as dogs. And so it's not uncommon that Jesus would have said here, referring to her as a Gentile, as a dog. And this woman, she could have got really upset at this point. She could have said, "Lord, just kill me. I have no hope." She could have said, "Enough, Lord." Remember Elijah? After the fire came down from heaven and that great miracle and slayed all the prophets. And Jezebel said, "I'll have your head by this hour tomorrow." And Elijah took off and ran because she threatened him. After all God did, he took off and ran from a woman. She must have been a mean woman because he took off. I mean, he took off. And up there when he was by himself, he was complaining to the Lord. "You know, Lord, you left me here by myself. I have no one to help me." And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be by ourselves with Him. Because the Lord can get more out of you and I when it's just you and Him and me and Him. The weaker we are, the stronger we are in Him. And Elijah said, Lord, "You've left me here by my..." "Enough, Lord." And we find that Elijah complained and complained, and after he complained and got all his complaints out to the Lord, we find that God said, "Okay, now I want you to get up from here, and I want you to go do this, and I want you to go do that, and I want you to go do this, and I want you to train Elisha, and I want you to get everything ready, and when you get it all finished and you do everything I've told you to do, I'm going to come get you in the chariot." It's at the place when it seems that it's enough that things can begin. And this woman could have said that same thing that Elijah said that day. She could have said, "Enough, Lord." But look how this woman answers her, the Lord. The last thing I want you to see very quickly is her mission was fueled by unending faith. This is the place we need to be in our lives. We need to be at this place in our life where our mission is fueled with unending faith. When I think about the Dominican Republic, that's my whole basis in my mind, is to complete the mission of God and have the faith to get it done and know that He is a supplier of the needs if it's His work. And so she comes again. She comes before the Lord again with this unending faith. And look what the Bible says about her faith. It says there, she said, and she said, "Truth, Lord," in verse 27. "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." This woman didn't give up.
She said, well, I need to take a different approach. I came, I've worshipped him, I've told him that I need help, I've shared what about my daughter, and now he's opened the door so I can at least speak to him. And she said, Lord, you're right, I'm a Gentile. I don't deserve what you came to give to Israel. You're right, Lord. You're right. You're always right, Lord. But she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs. She said, I'm a dog. She said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Did you catch what she said to the Lord? She said, Lord, you're exactly right. I'm a dog. But you're my master. I'm a dog, Lord. And you're my master. And the least thing that I can glean from you at this time is least I can have what the dogs have, and that's the crumbs that fall from. I just want a crumb, Lord. That's what she was saying to him. My daughter just needs one little crumb from your table, because with one little crumb, she can be made whole, and that devil will leave her. I just need one crumb, because you are my master. Now, a dog's not a bad place to be. I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile, so I'm a dog. It's not a bad place to be. I remember Rambo. We had a dog named Rambo. Rambo was a dachshund. His name was Rambo. And Rambo was vicious when it came to killing rats. Now, in the Dominican Republic, we have rats in the Dominican Republic, Pastor Tom, that the cats run from. Cat will not mess with a big rat in Dominican Republic because it's big. But Rambo, they didn't have a chance. And in the mornings, we were living in a house. In the mornings, I would let Rambo out, and then I'd come around to the front porch after a while, and I'd open the door. And Rambo had been out there busy, and he wouldn't eat a rat, but he would kill them. And he might have two or three rats there that he killed. Now, he would bring them over so I could see that he was out there working and that he had done a good job. And boy, Rambo was something. And at dinner time, we had his bed. He had a little bed in the living room area, and we had the kitchen, the dining room over here, and there was a wall there. And every night, we would get the boys, we'd sit down at the table, Chona would get the food on the table, and she would just look at him and say, Rambo, go to bed. He would go over there and get his bed. Now, he would peek his head around the corner, and he would wait till Chona sit down at the table. But as soon as she sit down, Rambo would come out around that wall and come and get right beside me, and he would put his hands up and he would beg, and he would sit like this, begging. And Chona would be busy, and I would be busy cutting food, and she'd be talking to the boys about school and stuff. And every time she would look over at one of the boys or something, I would slip Rambo a piece of food. And Rambo would take his food, run over there to his bed, eat it, and come back. And that would go on the whole dinner. And Rambo, he knew that Miss Chona very rarely would ever give him a piece of food because she thought it was bad to give the dog food from the table, especially with him begging like that. But boy, he knew that I was going to give him food every single time. And I did. And Rambo could count on me always to get the crumbs. And that's the way our life is with our Lord. We can always get the crumbs. Always. And with one crumb from the Lord's table is more than a whole plate. Because with one crumb, you can do great things. And what we need to do in our lives is have that mission and then have the faith of this woman and the vision of this woman that no matter what happens in our life, that we'll not be discouraged. And no matter how many times the virus or a new virus shows up, that it will not cause us to stumble. because we have our eye on the prize. And the prize is bringing others to heaven with us. Amen? And they are worth all the crumbs that we can gather for the Lord's table. Jesus said to her in verse 28, and then Jesus answered and said, now Jesus is going to answer, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, let's don't be confused. It was not the woman's will that changed the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the fact that the woman finally got to the level that she needed to be in her life so that the will of God and her met together because she had that right relationship with our Lord. Things happen when our lives and what we're trying to do for the Lord, when our lives meet with the Lord's will, people's lives will be changed. Great things will happen, and God will receive honor and glory. Amen? And that's what it's about, and that's what we're trying to do in the Dominican Republic, is bring honor and glory to the Lord. Many, many people will be in heaven. It has been laid to your account. When we get to heaven, you'll get to meet brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're going to be coming up to you and saying, thank you. Thank you for your efforts in helping the work of God. So I don't know who you are. Yeah, but you sent and supported missionaries to the Dominican Republic. And I'm one of those people that got saved because you sent missionaries to the Dominican Republic. Great vision. Great vision. I pray that God will give us great personal vision to accomplish our task here on this earth. I want to thank you once again for your prayers and support. And ask the Lord, what is it you're supposed to do on a personal level? Who is that one person that you need to find? And be like this woman. And stay after that person till they get saved. And when they get saved, find another one. Amen? That's what we have to do in this life. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me be here tonight.
I'm so glad. Brother Ronnie, as always, he's moving. This man moves. And so we've been talking about all these different dates to get him in. I'm so glad we were able to get the Autrys here. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, please make sure you get a prayer card from the Autrys. There's some out there. They have other things about this seminary and another card here about the church. This is in Spanish, actually. So see that out there, but at minimum, get the prayer card. And then also, Brother Randy, I'm going to ask Randy if he would put out the receptacle. And if you could give any amount so we could present them with a love offering, that would be, I think, right for us to do as a church. We've been supporting the Autrys for a long time, and we will continue to support them. And it's so great to see the photo. I love seeing the photos, and I love hearing the report. It just like puts us right there, and it's just so wonderful. Continue to pray for their ministry, but also when you pray for them, remember all those other pastors, all those other church plants, because that's all part of the same ministry. Amen? Well, and the third thing I'm going to ask you to do is the Autrys are here. So just don't rush out. You know, I'm sure that if you have any questions, I'll be happy to talk to you. They don't have a table set up, but they are here. So try to spend time with them if you're able. Let's stand together, and we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for the Autrys and just their commitment, Father. His 5-point plan for the Dominican. You've walked through every point of that with him, and we're just so excited to see when a plan comes to fruition, when that plan is based in the will of God. Even the crumbs from your table can make the plans, the best laid plans, work well. But Father, we thank you so much for including each one of us in your will and in your plan and using us as you would. I pray that you would just give a double portion of your spirit to the Autrys, that you would protect them as they continue to travel around here in the States before they return, and of course for their shipping and for their return back to their ministry there. We pray for all those pastors, the ones that we saw in the video and the ones that are scattered about all throughout the DR, that you would bless each one and that you would use them to glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His glorious and wonderful name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.